message tonight. I call your attention, if you have a Bible with you and want to follow along as I read the scripture, to the book of Acts.
Amen, preacher.
The book of Acts tonight, and I want to look at chapter 20. And I'd like to begin reading with verse 17. Acts chapter 20 and verse 17 is where we'll begin. Several already standing tonight, and so if you're physically able and willing, I do invite you to stand with us and we'll honor and reverence the reading of God's precious word.
It's good.
If you're able to remain standing after we read these verses I'd like to read tonight, then we'll look to the Lord in prayer. And I do ask you again humbly to pray for us. The Lord would help us tonight. Acts chapter 20, verse number 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shewed you and have taught you publicly, and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege to pray tonight. We thank you for the good day that you've permitted us to enjoy.
Yes.
Thank you for health and strength, and for traveling mercy and grace. I thank you for the nation we live in. I thank you, dear Lord, for saving us and putting us in the family of God. I thank you for calling us to preach, and I thank you for the open door you've given us tonight. I thank you for the church you planned here, for the good pastor, for these that have come, Lord, tonight, and gathered with us. Lord, we're thankful that we're privileged to live in a nation.
Amen.
Thank you so kindly for standing tonight.
Amen.
As we read the word of God and prayed together.
Yes.
I want to preach from verse number 20 tonight, where the apostle Paul made this statement to the elders of Ephesus. And he said these words, I kept back nothing.
That's good.
I kept back nothing. I wonder when this service is over with tonight, and we have to face God with how we've responded in this service and how we've worshiped and what we've done in this service tonight. Can we say as Paul, I've kept back nothing? I wonder when these days close, when these days that we've set aside to come together and how to worship the Lord and serve and preach and pray and praise the Lord. I wonder when they have come to an end, will you be able to look back and say, I've kept back nothing. I wonder when that you reach the end of your life, whenever that may be. And who knows? For the Bible said, what is our life? It is a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then it vanisheth away. And none of us are promised, my friend, tomorrow. And that we're all one heartbeat out of eternity. There is but one step between us and death. But whether we live 5 minutes or 50 years, when we look back over our life, will we be able to say, as the Apostle Paul, I have kept back nothing. I wonder, would you like that to be on your gravestone? I wonder, would that be a good epitaph to put and to say he or she in their relationship with God kept back nothing. Oh, Paul was able to say to the elders at Ephesus, I have kept back nothing. Oh, what a statement for an individual to make. Amen. It was Dale Moody that said, as he heard that great message that pricked his heart, And the gentleman said, the world has yet to see, my friend, what God can do with one man completely devoted and dedicated unto God. And Moody bowed over on the bench and said, by the grace of God, I'll be that man. I'll keep back nothing. Amen. Oh, Paul could say it. I wonder, will you be able to say it? Would you like to be able to say it? I will be able to say it. I believe that when we stand at the judgment seat, we'd wish we could. I say, I have kept back nothing. Amen. Oh, hear me tonight. Can I say to you, first of all, before we look at the Apostle Paul and this statement tonight, can I say, Paul, I could have never made this statement, my friend, and neither can we, except for the fact that God has kept back nothing good from us. Amen. Thank God. God has kept back nothing good from us tonight. Amen. Oh, hear me, friend. Can I say God kept back nothing from man in the creation. Amen. Everything that God made, he looked at it and said, it's good. Amen. There was nobody else to say it, so God said it. Amen. And it was good. My friend, everything that God did in those 6 days of creation, my friend, was good. Amen. And when he made man, when he formed him out of the dust of the ground, and that word formed, I mean with a gradual process, with exactness and preciseness, God formed a man. And when he got through, thank God, the workmanship exceeded the materials. God had just took dust and made such a creature that no scientist, nobody in medicine can quite figure us out. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And that my soul knoweth right well. But it was because God created man. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. And so God kept back nothing in creation. Here was man, thank God, and God let him have dominion over the whole earth. That's exactly right. Everything was subject unto him. By the way, it almost looks like to me that God, after creation, said, Adam, it's all yours. But he specially and specifically planted a garden. Hallelujah. A poor man. Is that not right? And placed him in that garden and let him name all the animals. Amen. And he named every one of them. Hey God, is that right? Doesn't sound like to me. He's a caveman. Hey God. Hey man with a small skull. Hey God. Amen. And wondering what fire and rocks my friend has got a club walking around. Sounds like to me he's an intelligent being that named the animal kingdom, and he named every one of us. Am I listening to the preacher tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. Hey God, but in all of that creation, in all the animal kingdom, there was not one that was suitable to be a helpmeet for Adam. And God, being good to Adam and not keeping anything back, not only give him dominion, not only give him a garden, but he give him a bride. Hallelujah. I put him to sleep, took a rib out of his side, closed it back up. I made a woman from that rib, brought her to the man, and Adam said, this is now. flesh. Amen. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined unto this woman, and they twain shall be one flesh. Are y'all hearing me tonight? And it is a mystery how God can take two and make one in marriage. Hallelujah. Are y'all listening to me tonight?
That's right.
Hey, hallelujah. And somebody said, are we on a boat? Hey, God, am I fit on the sanctity of marriage? It's not up for vote. Hallelujah. Why do you think it's called holy matrimony? Before there was a church, before there was a government, God instituted and set up the home. And his example was one man for one woman for a lifetime. Amen. And if you want anything different, then my friend, and it was not so from the beginning. Amen. Is that right? I'm not here to be ugly tonight. I'm a just priest. God was good to man in the creation. Amen. Thank God. And everything that was good for man, God, I put it in reach of him. Yeah. Amen. Whoa. Only thing God forbid was that man did not need. Hallelujah. And all God holds from us tonight is not what we need, but what we don't need. Satan's a liar. When he says you shall not surely die. Satan's a liar. When he said you'll be as gods. And knowing good. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Hey, hear me, friend. Thank God, whatever God says off limits, I just walk off from it tonight. You're better off. God's not being a cosmic killjoy. God's not trying how to stifle your expression. Hey, hallelujah. Thank God. Tonight, how to harm you in any way. God's just doing what's best for you. He always has. And I say, when it comes to man, God can't find nothing. Amen. Nothing in creation. And then when man sinned, God kept back nothing in preservation. Hallelujah. God could have just, if he'd wanted to, started over. Amen. Hallelujah. I've never figured out yet why God took the dust of the earth and made a mankind anyhow. I say, as the psalmist, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visionest him? Lower than the angels. Amen. But crowned with glory. Why God took such affection and love toward us, I can't understand tonight. But I know he kept back nothing from us in creation. Amen. Adam had it, by the way. The one thing that Adam didn't have in the garden, thank God that's what he wanted. But when he got it, he lost everything else. Are y'all hearing me tonight? And that's the way sin is tonight. Thank God. It's never full, never satisfied. Hey, and your stinking rotten flesh and that old Adamic nature and sinful nature always wants that that it cannot have, but it never satisfies. And by the way, it never fulfills. It never tops anything off. Hey, hear me, friend. It's never the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. You just lose everything you have and still have nothing. Hey, that's what Adam and Eve wound up with. They lost the glory. They lost their dominion. Amen. But God kept back nothing. Made them coats of skin. Shed the blood. Covered them. Gave them a promise. Amen. Oh, I ain't got time to preach all of this. Amen. Thank God and preserve mankind. Thank God in the days of Noah. Y'all hearing me? Kept back nothing. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, God waited in the days of the long suffering of God, waited in the days of Noah. God wasn't waiting on nobody else to repent. God's waiting on Noah to get the ark built. Are y'all listening to me? Hallelujah. He didn't say build an ark for the saving of the world. He said build an ark for the saving of your house. And Peter said, or Hebrews said, by faith, thank God, he obeyed the Lord, saved his household, and condemned the world. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Somebody said we're not doing a lick of good in these last days, preaching and having revival and having church and having services and living for God. Can I remind you of the same pig that Noah hammered in the ark to save his household was the same pig that has put the final nail in the coffin of the world. Amen. I want to say to you tonight, thank God, our preaching is for Christ. It is for the glory of God. Amen. And if he chooses to save everybody when we preach, praise God. But if nobody believes it and responds to it, to God be the glory anyhow. Hallelujah. His word will stand. His word will be proclaimed. And his word will either deliver us or be a witness against us in the day of judgment. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. Hallelujah. Well, thank the Lord. Thank God, God, my friend, kept back nothing from man in creation. Kept back nothing in the preservation. Amen. Hallelujah. I say to you tonight, saved or lost, thank God, big or little, poor or rich, whatever you have tonight, it's God's blessings on your life. We're breathing God's air, walking on God's grass, amen. Eating the God's food, enjoying God's rain, amen. Everything we have's borrowed, it's not ours anyhow. Anybody listen to me tonight? In Acts 14, thank God they were at Lystra. I was Paul, thank God, and Barnabas. And when they raised that man that had been lame on his feet, those folks there said, this is Mercurius and Jupiter. Amen. But Paul and Barnabas said to them as they rent their clothes, why do you these things? We're men of like passions. And we preach that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in time past suffered all nations how to walk in their own ways. But verse 17 said, nevertheless, he left himself not without witness, in that he did good, and he gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Hallelujah. Can I say tonight, God has kept back nothing from us. Amen. Hallelujah. In the creation, in preservation, and then I say in redemption. Hallelujah. Well, well. Somebody said, God don't care nothing about me. Well, who do you think give you the rain and the fruitful seasons and the good food? Amen. Hallelujah. Oh. Somebody said, but I'm having a hard time. I'm having difficult days. The economy's bad. My health is failing. I'm getting old. I'll take one more look at Calvary tonight, and that'll show you what God thought of mankind and how he kept back nothing. For John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world, but he gave his only begotten Son. I say to you tonight, if we didn't recognize how that God had kept back nothing from us in creation and preservation, we ought to look at redemption tonight and realize God gave the best that heaven had. God gave his only Son on a die in our stead tonight. I say he kept back nothing from me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless his name.
That's it.
The reason Paul could say, I kept back nothing, because God had kept back nothing from him. Secondly, may I say tonight, not only did God the Father, God the Sovereign, not keep back anything, but God the Son didn't keep back anything. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yeah, preach.
Y'all got time for me to preach tonight.
Amen.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Preach.
I was a little tired when I started, but I feel rested. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Only a preacher understands that.
Understand.
Amen. Hallelujah. Can I say to you tonight, thank God, Christ kept back nothing in the condescension. The Bible says, you know, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. And from the bosom of the Father, thank God, I came the Son of God down the stairway of time and emptied himself of all the glory that he had had with the Father before the world began.
Yeah.
Woo! Thank God he made himself of no reputation. I took upon himself the form of a servant. And being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient, even to death, the death of the cross. I say, he kept back nothing in the condescension. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Thank God. The gem of the glory world, the pearl of paradise. Heaven's choicest ray and finest jewel. I walked down the stairway of time and embosomed himself in the womb of the Virgin Mary and was born as a man. Hallelujah. Because he kept back nothing. Can you imagine the God of the universe that spoke the whole universe into existence? I come into a little hill. A ball, thank God, of dirt, amen, and taking on himself the form of a man. I say he kept back nothing when he condescended.
That's good.
Amen. Amen. Kept back nothing when he was incarnated.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Bless his name. He became the seed of the woman. Oh, he took not on him the nature of angels, but the seed of Abraham.
Yeah.
Hey, he was made like unto his brethren. Hey, God, and he kept back nothing in the incarnation. Are you hearing me? Nobody, and no trumpets was there. And my friend, the trumpet is birth. And no herald was there. And I proclaimed the Son of God had been born. But in a lowly stable, outside the city of David, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and laid in a manger, was the only begotten Son of God, the King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. And he came to this sin-benighted, sin-cursed world, because he kept back nothing from mankind.
Hallelujah.
Amen. This was the God that had created man and made him. This is the God that had breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. This is the God that had kept not any good thing from man. Hey, God. But the only way to redeem him, the only way to save him, the only way to rescue him, I was to become like him and die in his place and become his substitute. And he kept back nothing in the incarnation.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And if God wasn't in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, let's go home. Because it's over with. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If Jesus Christ is just a teacher like Hare Krishna, amen. If Jesus Christ is just a prophet like Muhammad, amen. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Thank God if he's just a religious, a teacher, or a follow like Joseph Smith, then we might as well close our Bibles. And I'm going back to Alabama and I don't want to hear from none of y'all no more. Hallelujah. Because we're all going to hell anyhow. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you who. Thank God drew a breath that night as he come out of the womb. I was the God of glory. I don't understand how he is 100% God and 100% man 100% of the time. But I know he was. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Hallelujah. Hey, thank God. And anybody that denies that, and God cannot be saved and will not be saved. Hallelujah. God came in the flesh. God was incarnated in the person of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, he kept back nothing tonight. Amen. Kept back nothing. In the life that he lived. A man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. He didn't go to the palace. He didn't seek out the rich man and the comforts of the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. But he came to those babes. Hallelujah. He came to those that were like sheep not having a shepherd. He came to the hungry. He came to the halt. Hallelujah. Oh, the blind, the maimed, the deaf, the dumb. Hallelujah. Amen. Two of John's disciples, after John's in prison, come over, and after they hear him preaching one day, they come after this message and they say, John sent us and said, are you he that should come, or do we look for another? Amen. And he said, go show John again the things you both see and hear. Amen. Hallelujah. The deaf hear, the dumb speak, the lame walk. Amen. The blind see, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he who is not offended in me. Go tell John, it's me. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God. And I didn't come to start a revolt. I didn't come. Hey, hallelujah. Thank God to march on Jerusalem or Rome, but I come and to preach the gospel to the poor. I came, thank God, and to preach and deliverance to the captives and recovered of sight to the blind. I've come to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I come to keep back nothing, and that's exactly what he did when he was here. He kept back nothing. Is anybody going to be too tired by the time I get to my message tonight? This is one of them where you have to preach to preach. You have to pray to pray, and sometimes you have to preach to preach. Hallelujah. Lord, help us tonight. He kept back nothing. When he came, he kept back nothing. Thank God in his life. And he kept back nothing in his death. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh my. He emptied himself of everything. Hallelujah. He did when he came down from glory. But then he emptied himself of everything while he was here. Thank God he became the most humble of the humble. Are y'all hearing me? Thank God. The meekest of the meek. Are y'all listening to me tonight? Not because he didn't have power to do what he wanted to do. He said, Peter, put up your sword. I can presently pray to my Father and he'll give me more than 12 legion of angels. But how shall the scriptures be fulfilled? Anybody listening to me tonight? And no man takes my life, but I lay it down freely. I have power. I lay it down and I have power. ought to take it again. And on an old rugged Roman cross outside the city of Jerusalem, Jesus Christ, my friend, gave everything he had. He kept back nothing. Amen. He gave his cheeks to the smiters. He gave his back unto them that plowed deep for us. My God, he gave his body to the tree. He bare our sin in his body on the tree. Amen. My God, but it wasn't just his body offered that day. He poured out his blood. He didn't spill it. He shed it. Amen. And he didn't shed one drop. He poured it all out. Y'all listen to me. And not only did he do his body and his blood, but he made his soul an offering for sin. And God, he said, my heart is melted like wax, and right in the midst of my bowels, Christ kept back nothing for mankind. I'm going to heaven tonight. Not because I'm a Baptist, not because I'm a preacher, not because of what I've quit or what I've started, but I'm going because on that old rugged cross, Christ kept back nothing. Hallelujah. And by him emptying himself of everything, I have everything tonight. Amen. He kept back nothing. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Praise God. Kept back nothing in the resurrection. He got up. Kept back nothing in the ascension. Keeps back nothing in the intercession. That's what he's doing now. And he's not keeping anything back when he's coming again. Hallelujah. Amen. Y'all listening to me tonight? Let me hurry and try to preach just a few moments here before I give all the way out and you can't listen no more. Amen. God help us tonight. Paul could say, I kept back nothing because God had kept nothing back. Paul could say, I kept back nothing because the dear Son of God kept nothing back. And I ask you and I tonight, if God kept nothing back from us, how can we keep back from him tonight? If the Savior kept nothing back from us, how are you and I feel justified holding out on him tonight? Anybody listening to me? But Paul said, I kept back nothing. First of all, I kept back nothing in salvation. Now you talk to 100 people, you'll have 100 ways to be saved. You don't have to go outside the Baptist faith to hear that either. Hold on. Give up. Just believe. Just repent. I mean, you just over and over again amazed what folks will say. But here's my persuasion tonight. I believe the moment you will be saved is when you keep back nothing. Hallelujah. I don't know where you'll be at, what you'll be doing, but that moment that you completely resign unto God, that's when God will save you. Not a second earlier, not a second later, but the very moment that you keep back nothing, that's when he'll do the work. All you need to do tonight is fold yourself like this handkerchief is tonight and hand yourself over to God and watch him do the rest. You can't save yourself no how, and you can't even help him save you. Amen. All you can do is come as a penitent sinner and say, I beg for mercy. I don't deserve it. I ought to go to hell, but I'm relying on you and what you've done. Just here I am. Hey God, and the moment you keep back nothing, that's when God will say, you're a wretched soul. Live or die, sink or swim. Hallelujah. Amen. Whatever, Lord, here it is. Yeah.
Listen,
my father-in-law had been raised in church, but he'd never had really got saved. I think he'd went through some professions like a lot of folks do when he was a young boy, coaxed into joining the church, doing something or another, and drafted during the Korean conflict, never did go overseas, but was stationed stateside in El Paso, Texas. Met a young lady out there in El Paso that originated from Ogden, Utah. And her mother was originally from Denmark and had come to this country at 4 years old. And what little religion they had was Mormonism. And he married her, moved her back to Alabama, and they got under the preaching of the gospel. Amen. When they come back in 1955, and she got saved, and he got saved, and he said, here's how it was. I was sitting in that little apartment overlooking Lake Gunnersville, working the second and third shift at work, and he said, I was sitting in there one evening reading that little New Testament and sitting in that chair overlooking that river. I just give it all to God, and he saved me. Anybody listening? What happened? He kept back nothing. There's a lady in the state of Georgia tonight, and she has Alzheimer's tonight. She don't even know her own children most of the time, much less us preachers. But I've heard her testify over the years, over and over again, and I wish tonight I could hear her tell it again. Hallelujah. Yeah. Somebody said, well, what happens when you don't remember? What happens when you lose your mind, if you get dementia or you get Alzheimer's? What happens then? Don't worry. The foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. When you don't know, he knows. Hallelujah. But I heard her testify. She said, we was in an August revival, having day and night service at the church where my parents attended. She said, I was just a young girl, but said I'd got under conviction and under a heavy load, and said, I one evening between the morning service and the night service, Daddy sent me on the back side of the pasture to get the cows and bring them up. Amen, to put them up for the night. And she said, hallelujah. As I had to go over there, she said, I came across a little creek of water, and she said it was pooled up here and there. And she said, when I started to step across one of them pools of water, I looked at it, and she said, it is so calm and so serene. She said, it made me angry. And I took the little old stick I had, and I stirred that water up. And I said, water, why are you so calm and peaceful when my heart's a trouble? She said, it ain't fair. You ought to be, thank God, like I am. So she stirred up the water. Walked across that pool of water in that creek, went and got them cows, come back, brought them across the creek. Time she got there, there was that pool of water, and all the ripples she had stirred up had calmed down, and it was peaceful again. And she said, if you can have peace, why can't I? And she got on her knees and give it all to God. And kept back. Well, bless his name. I tell you, when I hear her tell that, it make me want to run around that building and shout and glorify God. I'm telling you, thank God that he's a God that when you keep back nothing, he's able to save you. On that road to Damascus, Paul throwed in the towel. Paul said, who art thou, Lord? And then he said, what would you have me to do? Thank God he resigned to the will of God. He kept back nothing. And when he did, God saved his soul. And God will do the same for you tonight. Kept back nothing in salvation. I'm preaching about Paul now. He said, I've kept back nothing. He kept back nothing in salvation. Yeah. Kept back nothing in the scriptures. That's what this text says.
That's what it says.
He called for the elders of Ephesus. He was at Miletus. He wanted to go to Ephesus. He didn't have time. He didn't have time to go to all the churches of Asia. He wanted to get to Jerusalem before Pentecost. So he didn't have time. So he sent for them. They met him at Miletus as he was journeying towards Jerusalem to get there before Pentecost. And when he met those elders at Ephesus, he said, you know, amen, how it was with you from the first day and how I've been with you at all seasons, and how I had a humility of mind and many tears. And he said, you know, the temptations that befell me because of the lying in wait of the Jews. And he said, I kept nothing that was back, nothing that was profitable unto you, but have shewed you. I've taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks with penance towards God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 27, he said, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He said, I preached it all to you. I didn't just preach health and wealth. I didn't just preach position. Amen. He said, I preached practice. Amen. I preached, I God, not only blessing but responsibility. He said, I declared unto you the whole counsel of God. I kept nothing back. He said, by the way, I did it, thank God, publicly and from house to house. My message didn't change when I got out of the pulpit. I didn't say that's not exactly what I meant. Hallelujah. But he said, I preached it in the pulpit and I taught it when I was at your house. He said, what I preached to the Jews, I preached to the Greeks and the Gentiles. Hey, I testified to both of them. Hallelujah. I can't fight nothing in the scripture. If you've got a man of God that'll lay it on the line, that'll preach it just like it is and not have fear or favor. Amen. That's exactly right. And not worry about my friend, the pulpit committee or the chimney corner committee. Amen. But just preach it like it is. You've got a gold mine. Ain't not been ever male. They're taking sides. Amen. And they're holding back and they're holding out. But Paul said, I didn't keep anything back. I declared unto you all the counsel of God. Amen. He kept nothing back in salvation. He kept nothing back in the scriptures. And lastly, may I say, he kept nothing back in service. Amen. Hallelujah. He told him here that he served the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations coming from the Jews. He told the church at Philippi, what things were gained to me, I've counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Anybody listening to the preacher tonight? And from Damascus, when he began to preach the faith that he had come to destroy, hallelujah, Paul kept back nothing. From the time that he reached the jail cell and wrote to Timothy and said, the time of my departure is hand, I fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, I've finished my course. Amen. Paul kept back nothing in serving God.
Amen.
I wonder if you kept anything back tonight. Amazing how we give it all to him to be saved and then we'll sort of fudge when it comes to service. Amen. Paul said, I kept back nothing in service. By the way, when Paul kept back nothing from God in serving him, then Satan kept nothing back from Paul. And from the time he started preaching at Damascus, the Jews took a vow to kill him. He had to be let down by a basket at night, amen, over the wall, because they're watching the gates where the Jews, because they said, we're going to kill that fella that's preaching this faith. And from then on, Satan did his best to do away with the Apostle Paul. So I remind you tonight, when you keep back nothing from God, Satan won't keep anything back from you either. All the times he was whipped, the times he was stoned, the times he was shipwrecked. Oh, he said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord. Oh, Paul suffered because he kept back nothing.
Yeah.
Why we, my friend, hold back on God is because we don't want that suffering.
Yeah.
We want to live close enough to the cross that we can enjoy the joy. Amen. Are y'all hearing me tonight? We want to live close enough to God we can feel His presence and His power. But we don't want to carry the cross. Hallelujah. Amen. But you heard the saying, no pain, no gain. That's the way it is in Christianity. Salvation is free to us, though it cost heaven the best it had, and Christ everything. I remind you, thank God, salvation is a gift of God. It's not of worth, lest any man should boast. But if you're to be a Christian, it'll cost you something. You'll have to pay a price. Amen. You'll have to deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow Him. And Paul said, when it comes to serving God, I'll count back nothing. And when he did, Satan poured everything that he had on him. But can I remind you, when you keep back nothing from God, Satan will keep back nothing from you. But can I say, the Lord won't keep nothing back from you either.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Back in Acts chapter 14, there at Lystra, the Bible said, after Paul and Barnabas said, we beg you to turn from these vanities to serve the living God. The Bible said there was Jews from Iconium and Antioch that persuaded the people to stone Paul and Barnabas. And Paul was stoned. In verse 19, and they left him outside the city for dead. Is anybody listening to me?
Right.
What happened? Paul kept back nothing from God, and now Satan's keeping nothing back from him.
Right.
And I'm not no for sure, but laying there at Lystra, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. I'm telling you, when he kept back nothing in service to God, Satan poured everything he had on him. But now God give him something that nobody else, amen. None of the other apostles had visions. Amen. And dreams and revelations that nobody else had. Is anybody hearing me tonight?
Amen.
Are y'all hearing me? Paul didn't serve God just to get revelations, abundance of revelations, nor dreams, nor visions. But he did it because there was a hunger and there was a love in his heart for the Lord. And yet when he gave it all to God and kept back nothing, Satan, my friend, poured everything on him. But now God lavished him, thank God, with things that nobody else had ever seen nor heard. Is anybody listening to me? Are you saying, preacher, if I keep back nothing from God, I'll have new revelation? I'm not what I'm saying. Don't misunderstand my preaching tonight. But I knew, no, thank God, there is some power. There is a touch. There is a blessing of God that this generation knows nothing about because they won't sell out.
That's exactly right.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'm in a quandary. I don't guess I ought to be preaching since I'm in a quandary. I know what's right. I'm just telling you. I was saved and started preaching right on the end of a generation that had sold out to God. When I first started preaching, Brother Rackley, in those early 70s, some of those country churches I preached in my county and the two or three counties surrounding me, when I'd go into the churches, they'd still be grandma women in bonnets and laced up shoes. And they'd still be grandpa men in their overalls. I didn't make them spiritual, I'm just telling you how they were. But Lord, you better, if you didn't want to worship, you better get out of the way because they're fixing to worship. And you didn't have to beg them, you didn't have to pump them and prime them. I'm telling you, they'd shout and they'd worship and they'd testify And I've known them to go on sometimes an hour and a half or 2 hours. And when they finally got sort of settled down, they didn't say don't preach. They'd beg you to preach. They'd want you to preach. And they'd built such a fire. If there's any preaching, all you had to do is get in the fire and burn. Amen. Yeah. And they'd shout and holler, amen, all the time you was a preacher.
Yeah.
And they'd stay with you. I mean, as long as you... Amen.
Yeah.
And I come from that crowd. That's what I cut my teeth on and the crowd I was around. And them old preachers, thank God, talked about going to Canaan, talked about living separated and dedicated, and my friend, living holy. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Thank God, and they impressed upon me how to need to be right and to walk right and all those things that go on with separation and sanctification. And I swallowed it hook, line, and sinker.
Amen.
And I've lived long enough. Thank God that a generation's come up behind me. And some of the preachers come up behind me. Thank God I nursed them as babes. And my friend took them down the same road that the old man of God took me. Amen. Prayed and preached to them. Took them to the meetings that I went to. Are y'all hearing me? Thank God introduced them, I thought, out of that same Canaan land experience that every child of God can have. And now I'm seeing a younger generation that's telling me, and preachers say, thank God, and that next generation saying you don't have to live like that. Oh, that's legalism, that's a burden. You don't have to live like that. I couldn't live like that. It brought me down too low. So I'm in a quandary tonight. I don't wonder who's right, them or that old generation. But I don't have to be in a quandary long, for I look back to that old crowd and I realize when they joined together out of how meeting the glory of God showed up and the power of God was present in their preaching and their praising. Hallelujah. And they're praying. And this young generation is trying to work it up. Amen. That's right. And pump it up. We just ought to go back to the old landmarks and the old time. Are y'all hearing me tonight? I believe it still pays how to keep nothing back. Hallelujah. And when we keep back nothing from God, God will keep back nothing from us. What are you going to do tonight? What are you going to do in salvation? What are you going to do with the scripture? What are you going to do in service tonight? Are you going to say, as Paul, I've kept back nothing? What are you going to do as an individual? What about you, preacher? What about you, sir? What about you, ma'am? What about you as a church tonight? Amen. Are you going to be a church that keeps back nothing from God?
Listen, church. God help us.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. And if anything the world needs tonight, it's a church that's kept back nothing
my
from
soul.
God.
My soul.
Amen.
So God can keep back nothing from the church.
Amen.
And He will do it.
Amen.
He will do it.
Lord,
but you shortchanged God tonight. Amen. You take the short road and mark her down. God may bless us like He did the children of Israel in the wilderness. Waxed their shoes, greased their breeches, and fed them.
Yep.
And watered them for 40 years, but they could have had so much more.
Oh, yeah. My soul.
Amen.
What do you want tonight?
Yeah. Lord, help us.
Is there anybody here tonight that would say to God, what I've been holding out and holding back on, I'm throwing it in tonight. I'm keeping back nothing. Is there any sinner here tonight that will come for salvation? Keep back nothing. Is there any saint here tonight? And when it comes to service, I'll say, I'm going to keep back nothing. Is there any preacher here tonight? Say, Lord, when it comes to the scriptures, I'm not going to tiptoe anymore. I'm just going to preach them all.
Amen.
Like it is. Everybody stand, please.